Hello, and welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. On the guided tour, you'll be escorted by an official host or hostess who will point out the many features and attractions and take you on an exciting tour of Disneyland.
Hi there, and welcome to Plaid Stories. I'm Mike Lynch.
I'm Janet Tanasugarn.
And I'm Dave Tavers. We are going to be your hosts for this Plaid podcast, interviewing guest relations tour guides from Disneyland to collect the history and heritage of Disneyland's tour guides. This is a passion project. We're not intending this to be monetized. We're not trying to get famous. We're just very passionate about the history of Disneyland's tour guides, and that's why we're doing this.
We're so passionate.
So, Janet, why are you joining this show?
I'm here on the show because you, Dave, invited me to be on the show. I understand you and Mike, or Mike and you, have been working behind the scenes for a couple of years to bring this passion project to life. And I am honored, I am thrilled to share in this experience and just have a good time and laugh at all the fun stories and all the good times we shared separately or together at Disneyland. How about you, Mike? What's your reason for doing this?
I would say I echo a lot of your sentiment. During my time, we had so much fun, and it was just, I want to share so much of that with people that may not understand what goes into and what went into the guest relations department and the tour guides of Disneyland.
Awesome. I started at Disneyland around, I want to say 2002, 2003. I mean, I think it was November 2002, and knew that I wanted to be a tour guide. Started in attractions because you couldn't transfer directly, or you couldn't go directly into guest relations. And for 6 months, I did Autopia and lots of guest control, Fantasmic and parades. And I bugged John Doe pretty much every week or two until finally he said, great, we got an opening, and I transferred over. So I left. I actually eventually transferred from guest relations into the Roundhouse and became a locomotive engineer. And I ended up leaving Disneyland around 2007. So I wasn't there very long. Janet, the reason why you came up is you were an ambassador, and that really meant something a long time ago. No offense to any current ones, but I even say for myself that I'm barely a real tour guide. You guys were just one or two generations away from Cicely Rigdon, and you were trained by the best of the best, and you guys were the best of the best. When did you start, and when did you move on to be an ambassador?
I started in guest relations in 1992, and back in my day, you had to be in, I think similar to what Dave said, we couldn't hire directly into guest relations at that time, and we had to wait 1 year before we were able to transfer to a different department. So that's interesting that you said 6 months. Now, I don't even know if there's a six-month waiting period now at Disneyland, but I transferred because my sister was a tour guide, and I invited her to do the podcast, and she hasn't really responded. But I think her story is very interesting because she was hired in as a ticket taker or seller. I don't remember which, but she met someone during orientation who hired directly into guest relations, and he suggested that she try to transfer right away. And for her, it worked out. And what's even more interesting is she was a seasonal cast member. So that's very, very different. But I am flattered that you said that I am an ambassador. It is a, is it fair to say it's a coveted role?
Of course.
I think for tour guides, that might be true.
To a degree, yeah, I think so.
What I want to say in my more recent experience, it seems that cast members don't ask me what is an ambassador anymore when I present my silver pass, because sometimes they'll say, well, where do you work? And I'll say, I am the 1996 Disneyland ambassador. And in the past, people will say, well, what was that? But I think thanks to social media, the cast members are more familiar with what the ambassador is. So I think that's kind of exciting. So it may not seem to us, because they're a few generations removed from Sicily, but they are doing an amazing job carrying on the tradition of why the Disneyland ambassador role was created, was to be Walt's official spokesperson.
Outside the park. Yeah.
Yes. Specifically at that time was for the tenth anniversary of Disneyland in 1965. But because the first ambassador, Julie Ream, was so successful, the marketing team decided to continue that role. And it's been a part of not only just Disneyland, but it has continued on through the rest of the international domestic resorts and Aulani, the resort and spa in Hawaii. So that's very exciting. It's a rich tradition. And again, I'm so flattered that you asked me to join this project.
Well, thank you for joining. Mike.
There's so much of what Janet said that it hit home. It was like, so when I hired in just a couple of years before Janet in 1989, and I actually wasn't thinking of applying or getting hired. I came down with a friend, and the receptionist said, well, you're here. Why don't you fill out an application? And so I did, and I was interviewed by a former tour guide, and we did our peer interview, and we came back for the second interview, and she said, I would really like you to interview for guest relations. I think you'd be a good fit over there. And I'm like, okay. Mind you, I'm in tennis shoes, jeans, and a cable knit sweater. I wasn't really dressed as most people go in for their Disneyland interview back in the late 80s and early 90s. And so then I interviewed in the department with Susan Shadrick, and I got hired into guest relations. And then I failed as big as someone could fail, and I ended up in Lost and Found for 6 months.
I don't know if that's a fail.
I did not learn my spiel within the 6 months that I had to learn.
Okay, that might be a fail. Sorry, Mike.
No, I'll go back with not a fail. A fail would be, I'm sorry, Mike, you're not a good fit. Let's transfer you somewhere else. But at least you're still Lost and Found.
True.
I spent, I think, my first summer in Lost and Found, and that's a whole different...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
different world.
Series of episodes, because that is, I think... Nothing is more thrilling than a guest saying or finding their item, or we find it after they leave and mail it to them.
Yeah.
That is just, and back in those days, there was something called film for cameras, and people would say, I lost my roll of film. And it was so nice to get letters back from guests that say, you found my roll of film, because how is it that, you know, out of, I don't know, probably on a busy day, 50,000 people, how many people would lose their roll of film?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be probably, I would say, a good at least 5 canisters of film a day
easily.
That would be lost easily.
Easily.
So it was always nice to say, oh, well, this came from It's a Small World. So, and the guests thought they lost it in Fantasyland. So it was kind of fun to try to match it up.
Janet's right, because you would ask him and you'd go, okay, what was the speed on the film? Another thing that people don't know about today, but
yeah,
you'd say, what was the speed? What was the exposure? And they'd be like, well, it was 200 speed. It was a 36 exposure. And then you'd get that would come in at the end of the night or sometime during the day. And you'd go, oh my gosh, I know who lost this. And she's right. You would send it to them, and they would send back a letter, and they would say, thank you so much. You have no idea what this means.
And I was impressed when I was there at the very tail end of film before smartphones took over, and it was kind of cool the number of times we would get back a package where the people had developed the film and then sent the picture saying, sorry, not our film.
Ah.
It's crazy to me that people did that.
Yeah, because you went down and you spent $6.99 and you got the film developed.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the old break room?
Yes.
Up above?
Before it was turned into a phone room?
Yeah.
Yes.
There used to be a little thing right by the door, and it said, through this door walks Walt's tour guides, yada, yada, yada.
Wow. I don't remember that.
I have never heard of that.
Oh, man. That thing was so cool. I would read that. I was like playing football for Notre Dame. I would hit it.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I'd be like, I'm going to play like a champion today.
How sad. I've never heard of that. We had a mannequin body that everyone called Walundra and ensure
yes.
the cape. Oh, you guys had that too.
Yes.
Oh, she goes before us.
Wow. Well,
she's probably like 70s.
Wow. I think that was the only thing that I remember being anything special like that. Our phone room was, you'd go out of the back of City Hall, go down the stairs, and then immediately to the left, which I think in your time was a AAA office.
No, it was guest communications.
Guest.com. Yeah. Got it. Well, there are so many stories that everyone is going to have. We're really excited to put this show together. The idea is going to be that two of the three of us, most likely, will be on a call with different tour guides who are willing to come on and share their stories and their memories. We just want to collect these stories because that history of the Disneyland Guest Relations Department is special. And it's very different today than it was 10, 20, 30, and 40 years ago. So this is our opportunity to just do some oral history recording, capture that stuff. And if it's just for the tour guides that remember each other, the people that see each other at the reunions, I'm fine with that personally. But I think it'll be fun to get some of those stories. I've heard plenty from all of you that came before me, from Mike and Janet and the other people I've met over the years. So many great stories, so I'm looking forward to this.
Me too.
Me three.
So as we move forward with the podcast, we'd like to hear your stories. So reach out to us at contact@plaidstories.com.
For Mike Lynch, Dave Tavers, I'm Janet Tenostigarn. Thank you for listening.